What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, David Drogemeyer, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also cover the Chargers for Sports Al Dente and all LA sports website where you can find me covering the Chargers as well. And we also do a Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly and goes about an hour to an hour and a half. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, we'll sound the bells because this is an emergency podcast. We weren't expected to record another podcast, but with the huge news that we received this morning as we're recording this is Thursday, we received huge news this morning and we knew that we had to get on and talk to you guys about it because, David, and I mean, this is really the only thing we're going to talk about today, is Melvin Gordon has told the Chargers that if he does not receive a contract extension that is to his liking, that he is going to demand a trade and that he's going to sit out training camp and possibly regular season games unless he gets that deal done. So we'll start by talking about that. I mean, just the sheer craziness of that. And then we're going to be joined by Fernando Ramirez, who covers the Chargers for NBC and is super plugged in up there, is always at the practices doing interviews with the players and everything else. So we're going to talk to him the last two segments of the show and just ask them the million questions that we have about this Melvin Gordon situation. But David, let's just give our thoughts on it first. Were you surprised when you saw that news break this morning? I know I certainly was.
Yeah, I definitely was surprised. I was like, where did this come from? This came out of absolute nowhere. I mean, the last, snippets of video that I heard, Melvin Gordon talk about his contract, it seemed, he seemed like, pretty laid back about it. It seemed like he was, expecting it to get done. And, it was like, hey, I just want to play ball. I just want to be with my team. It just seemed like, he wasn't really too worried about it. But apparently the verbiage that was used in part of this press release by his agents was that he felt disrespected by the numbers that the Chargers were throwing at him. So I'm kind of curious to know what those numbers were. Because, according to Melvin Gordon, I mean, at least from what we hear, he's looking for some big money. And it seems like the Chargers are not on that same wavelength. So this is definitely big news, a little scary, because I'm a firm believer that Melvin Gordon's one of the catalysts of this team. I think he definitely gets things going on offense. So to see that he might not be there when the team needs him come the regular season, for me, is a scary thought.
Especially for a team like the Chargers, who just have such a finite window right now with the end of Philip Rivers' career. I mean, to have this happen right now is terrible timing for the Chargers, who feel like right now that they are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And Melvin Gordon is a huge part of that, especially when he's healthy. I mean, last year had an injury-shortened season, missed four games, missed partial games, getting injured in a couple of other ones as well, but they were 4-0 without him. But the rushing game really took a backseat to the passing game when Melvin Gordon was out. I mean, Melvin Gordon averaged 5.1 yards per carry last season, which is really awesome. First time he's gotten over five in his career. He has 38 total touchdowns over the last three seasons, which is second to only Todd Gurley. And I think he's looking for that type of money. I think he wants Le'Veon Bell money, who obviously sat out all of last year to get it. I think he wants Todd Gurley money. I think he wants around that kind of money, $14 to $15 million a season. And I don't know if the Chargers are going to be willing to do that. Obviously, the contract extensions that they've been sending his way, David, have not been up to that. And so far, they've been denied. And to the point where, like you said he felt disrespected. That's tough. I mean, that's a level that you don't want to get to with a player. And like we talked to Fernando Ramirez about later on, it is probably mostly the agents, but at the same time, I can't necessarily really fault Melvin Gordon for this one, David. I know there's a lot of fans that are already kind of fed up with this and just saying, hey, get rid of him. Hey, he is not worth it. Hey, if he's a distraction, you can't really deal with it, because he's a running back. Right now, he's 26 years old. He's only going to get more than likely one big contract for the rest of his career, because, hey, if he signs a four-year contract or a three-year extension for after this season, or a four-year extension, the next contract that he's lining up for is going to be after he's 30 years old. And for running backs, you're not going to get a big contract after you're 30. So, David, as much as I know the fans are going to hate this and how he's going to get a lot of backlash, for a guy like Melvin Gordon, for running back that position specifically, I mean, look at Todd Gurley. If he hadn't got that extension, who knows how much money he'd be making right now with how far he fell off last season. So even though, of course, I would love Melvin Gordon to be in camp right now and to be reporting when it starts, but at the same time, I can't necessarily blame him in the position he's in right now.
No, you're right. I mean, the shelf life for NFL players is already short as it is. The shelf life for NFL running backs are exponentially shorter. He is in the prime of his career right now. This is the only big contract that he is more than most likely going to get in his NFL career. So from a business standpoint, looking at it objectively, not as a fan, absolutely, Melvin Gordon is going to do what he believes and get what he feels like his value is, because this is going to be the only big contract of his NFL career. So, like I said, he's got to go get his money. Now, do I personally believe that he is worth $13 to $15 million a year? No, I do not. I think that is a gross overpayment. I think I would only be comfortable signing Melvin Gordon to somewhere in the $10 to $12 million range. Anything over that, it seems like an overpay, especially for a position that is easily replaceable.
It is, and I mean, it's a position that you can find people on the cheap for the most part, and that's the tough part, is you could find a cheap replacement potentially for Melvin Gordon if they did decide to move on, which, I mean, who knows what that would fetch you right now. I mean, maybe a third-round pick, a second-round pick. I have no idea, because you'd have to think whatever team he's going to is going to extend him, so it's not going to be a situation where you're getting a one-year rental. More than likely, wherever he goes, he's going to sign that extension. So I think the Chargers could be able to get something, but the Chargers lost a lot of leverage as soon as Melvin Gordon came out and said, basically, I'm going to hold out this season and not play games potentially if I don't get paid. So really a big time loss for the Chargers, and bad news for the Chargers, because the Chargers front office is stingy. I don't think this makes it any more likely that they're going to get a deal done. You heard that they already were in talks for a contract extension, but the Chargers don't bend to players when they make moves like this. So, David, unfortunately, I think this is going to get messy. The Chargers have a lot of guys that need to get paid after next season, including, you know, extending Joey Bosa, including Phillip Rivers coming off the books next year. It's hard to, you know, put those guys off and not think about those guys, because Melvin Gordon has been so injured. I think if Melvin Gordon hadn't been injured and had played all 16 games since his rookie season, I think he's probably already extended. But with those guys on the horizon, David, I don't know, like you said, if you can wrap up a $50 to $60 million contract with your running back right now, especially with all the young guys down the road that are going to have to be paid defensively as well.
Yeah, but also I think the people and the Chargers front office kind of have to look at the optics of this situation too, because, you know, they already had some issues with the Joey Bosa rookie contract, and they're going to have to come back and try to sign him to another contract that's going to be exponentially more money. So I think, you know, they have to be cognizant of how this looks to other players that are, like you mentioned, are going to be in line for new contracts as well. I mean, if they, you know, see that there's just going to be problems re-signing with the organization or getting the money they feel like they are worth and they deserve, that might deter them from wanting to re-sign with the Chargers. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be interesting, especially because you're talking about another guy that hasn't really been able to play a full season or has had big injury history as well. And had that contract's going to be a pretty gnarly looking contract as well. But I don't think a deal is about to get done very soon. I think this is going to be something that lingers for a little while through training camp, through the preseason. And I just think it's going to be a really messy situation. Do I think he goes full on Le'Veon Bell and sits out the whole season? I think it's too soon to tell, but luckily we have Fernando Ramirez from NBC San Diego, who's really plugged into the situation to talk and ask him some questions about it and get some really good insight. So let's go ahead and get into Fernando Ramirez and ask him the million questions that we have right now. But first, I need to tell you guys about BlueChew.com. Yep, you guessed it. You knew it was coming. BlueChew.com is knocking at the door, and when they knock, you answer. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast. Because, hey, when you're taking Blue Chew, you're not going to want to wait. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. The package will probably just slide right in there with the rest of your girlfriend's Amazon Prime packages. And since they're made in the U.S., they're much cheaper than the pharmacy as well. Right now, we have a special deal for you guys. When you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping, and the product is free. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, guys. What are you waiting for? Get that pants party started. All right, guys, back in here talking about this huge Melvin Gordon news. And the guy we've been waiting for, the guys we teased in the first segment, is in now with us. Fernando Ramirez, who's a sports producer and writer for NBC San Diego, does the coverage down here for NBC7. So we're glad that we have Fernando Ramirez here. He's super plugged in with the Chargers. You always see him up there interviewing players and all that. And we are super glad, Fernando. Thank you for coming on with us. It's really great to have an inside source when you see a news of this magnitude dropping.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. And yeah, I mean, who said that the NBA is going to get all the light? I mean, now it's NFL, now we're getting closer to training camp, so now you see a little bit more news coming out with holdouts, with new contracts, with suspensions. I mean, it's getting pretty crazy out there, but we're about 2 weeks away from training camp.
Yeah, I know. This was supposed to be the dead period for the Chargers. We weren't supposed to be getting all sorts of crazy news, but let's go ahead and jump into it. Obviously, you know, you had talked to even Melvin Gordon before in the mandatory minicamps, and he was basically being pretty nonchalant about his contract situation, saying basically like, hey, it would be nice to get it over with so I wouldn't have to worry about it. But it all seemed, you know, pretty calm, pretty level-headed. So for him to come out with his agents and put this out there that basically the Chargers need to extend him or he's going to demand a trade, do you think that that surprised the team?
To be honest, I think it did, just because of what you said. Melvin Gordon's very laid back. He very, like, he just does his job. He loves his teammates. He loves the team. You can tell, always joking around with different guys. You can tell that he loves to be out there. He loves playing football. I'm very surprised. I was a little bit taken back by it, but then again, it's the agent that's the one that's saying it. I would love to hear from Melvin to hear what he has to say. But like you said, when we had him for minicamp, when we were asking him questions about his workouts and everything, he was really cool, really cool. And then he got asked about the contract, and that's when you kind of got, he went from speaking like this to kind of like speaking like this. And he just kept on talking about a couple of things, and the things that he kept on hitting on was, I want to be here. I want to play. I want to do this. I just want to get it out of the way. I want to be with my teammates. I want to win. I mean, these guys know the importance of that their window could be closing for the Super Bowl. I mean, on the offensive side, because, I mean, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger. So, and the run game just, it looks like it took off. It was taken off. Then he gets hurt against the Cardinals. And it kind of slowed down. But, like, I mean, the team kept on winning and went, like, finding different ways to win. So it's very interesting. I do think the team was taken back a little bit, because the last time they got anything like this was from Eric Weddle a couple of years ago, when they basically told him, hey, dude, like, we think you're a little bit too old. You're over the top. Like, we're not going to extend you. We're not going to give you the contract. And that's when Weddle's like, you know what? I'm not playing special teams. I'm going to chill out a little bit more. Like, and I mean, you guys have known Eric. I know Eric. Eric's one of those guys that gives 110% no matter what. But that year, he was just disconnected because he felt disrespected. And that was the word that his agent used today with Ian Rappaport, that they felt disrespected.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. I mean, that's kind of brings me to my next question is, what have you heard out there as far as what Melvin Gordon is actually looking for financially for this contract? Do you have any idea of the kind of dollar amounts that kind of been looking for?
To be completely honest, I think he's looking for Todd Gurley money. If you think about it, his first year, Melvin Gordon had zero touchdowns. He really wasn't, like, you could see a little burst here and there, but he just could not. He would get stuffed going into the end zone. I mean, and that's obviously play calling with Mike McCoy, and then it was on top of that, the offensive line wasn't very good. But granted, he was not getting it. You didn't understand. And then the next year he comes out and has a good touchdown season. He keeps on scoring and scoring and scoring. He's doing very well. I mean, he's done well the last three seasons. He's put up 38 touchdowns. Who's the only running back in front of him, or the only player in front of him with more touchdowns? Happened to be Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was paid, but what just happened to Todd Gurley? He has an injury. He has knee injuries. And you're kind of like, oh, like with running backs, it's just so hard to know what's going to happen. And then Todd Gurley today comes out and talks about on Bleacher Report, oh, we should get paid the way NBA players get paid. And I was like, whoa, you just signed a new contract. And you're talking about getting paid like an NBA player. I'm like, okay. I mean, I understand where they're coming from. But the thing is that you guys, I mean, we all know the way that the teams organize is what's best for the whole team. They don't go as what's best for an individual. So if the Chargers feel like what's best for them is I think what they were trying to do is give this fifth year to Melvin and be like, you know what, let's see if you can stay healthy all 16. Because, I mean, that's one of the knocks on Gordon. He's fixed some of his other knocks. At the beginning, I think he fumbled 6 times his rookie year. Ever since then, I think he hasn't even fumbled a total of 6 times. So he's done pretty well to take care of all that stuff. The one thing that he just cannot stay away from is the injury bug. And what sucked about this last season is that it happened as soon as they started hitting their stride and right before they hit the playoffs. So in the playoffs, yes, he ran well. He had some good runs, but that wasn't 100% Melvin Gordon. So what could 100% Melvin Gordon look like going into the playoffs? That would be something I thought we would see this year coming up. Hopefully see him go into the playoffs 100%.
Yeah, and that's a huge concern when you're talking about giving a running back that kind of money and those guaranteed dollars. Like you said, we saw with Todd Gurley, both of those guys had microfracture knee surgery in 2016. So if you just think that there's no possible way that Melvin Gordon could have that kind of precipitous drop off, you just don't know. But at the same time, hey, that's why Melvin Gordon wants to get this money now. But as far as how he's going about it, the Chargers have always been really stingy with these kind of contract situations. Yes, they were a little bit more open with Eric Weddle, but going back to the Vincent Jackson years where he was franchise tagged, that ended ugly. Do you think this tactic from Melvin Gordon's agents, I mean, even if it's not Melvin Gordon, because we know he is kind of that laid back guy, do you think something like that would work with a Chargers front office that's been historically stingy? Do you think this makes them any more likely to get a contract extension done?
The only way I would see it is if the fans get, like, say at the first day of training camp, Melvin Gordon doesn't show up and fans start chanting for Gordon or something like that to that effect, then I think we could. And I mean, the thing is that also think about, what about all these fans that just bought 25 Gordon jerseys? And right, what if they end up trading him or he doesn't show up? You're going to get fans kind of getting a little, they're not going to be happy about that. So it's going to be interesting to see the way they play this whole situation. I would think that they're going to offer him something before training camp just to kind of get it all out. But like I've told you guys, he is a team guy from what I've known him for 5 years and going into our fifth year. And Gordon's always been a great guy, always been, always will tell you the truth. He's a great guy. So he's very team oriented. I've seen him in the locker room and he's always going up to Phillip and, hey, Phil, what's up? Going up to different players. And you could tell he's a team guy, but the thing is, he also has to get his own. He has to, because, I mean, running backs are what, probably one big contract. And then after that, it's kind of small little contract. So I know what he's trying to do. And I mean, for the Chargers, yeah, it kind of does hurt him. But for Melvin Gordon, the player, I mean, he has to secure his. What if he goes out there this season and just completely tears up his knee and he's done? He has no, like, he will have money, but he won't have that guaranteed money that other guys would get. So, I mean, I see where he's coming from, but at the same time, yeah, I think it does kind of hurt the team a little bit just because of, like you said, in the past, they've always had one player that they kind of are at odds with. And like you said, Vincent Jackson and other players like that. So it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see the way Tom Telesco's handled this because he usually does handle this pretty well, but it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. And now if they trade him, could we get a Herschel Walker part two? Where they end up trading him, Minnesota gave the Cowboys a whole mess of players and picks, and then the Cowboys turned that into a couple of Super Bowl rings. Who knows? But it'll be interesting to see the way this this plays out between both sides.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And we don't really have an adequate guy to really put into this. You know, you saw Trent Richardson go for a first-round pick. It's not really exactly the same situation. I don't know if they would get that. But the rest of the guys we've seen, whether it's Marshawn Lynch, whether it's Jordan Howard this year with the Eagles for a sixth rounder or Jay Ajayi for a fourth rounder, we don't really have a precedent of a guy of Melvin Gordon's caliber getting traded right now. So I have no idea what that package would look like.
He's a top five back. In my opinion, he is a top five back. I don't put Le'Veon Bell in there just because I need to see what he's going to do this season. But Melvin Gordon is a top five back. So it's going to be interesting to see if the team does field trades or if it's going to be like, you know what? We can get this done. We're family. Let's get this done. Let's get this behind us and move on. Because, I mean, the Chargers do have a window right now, and they're basically they're almost there to the point where they could take that next step and finally do what they haven't been able to do in their whole history.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these are all things to take into consideration. I mean, this could not happen at a worse time for the Chargers, who are Super Bowl contenders right now. But we do have a few more questions with Fernando Ramirez, and we'll go ahead and get into that right after this. All right, guys, we're back here with NBC San Diego's Fernando Ramirez talking all things Melvin Gordon with this huge news coming out today that he wants to get paid or he wants to move on to another team. Well, David, I know you have another question for Fernando Ramirez regarding this. I mean, we have a million, but what else do you have for Fernando Ramirez?
Well, I mean, this situation seems to be eerily familiar to something that happened just last year with Le'Veon Bell sitting out the entire season because he didn't get the contract that he felt like he deserved. Do you believe that Melvin Gordon would be willing to even sit out any regular season games?
See, and that's the hard one, just because, like I told you guys, I know him, and I just don't think he's one of those people that would do it. But it also goes with whatever your agent tells you. And if his agent tells him, hey, it's the best play for us, I could see Melvin sitting out games. But Melvin Gordon, the way he is, the kind of person he is, I think it would hurt at him, and it would hurt him to sit out and not be wearing that Charger jersey and being out there on Sundays. But I mean, like this, in this day and age, I can't put anything past a player. I mean, players have to do what they have to do. I mean, they have to secure their money. So I could see Melvin sitting out, but I think it would hurt him tremendously to sit out just because how much of a team guy he is and how much he loves his teammates.
Well, and I think what's held players from doing that before was just the fact that they are forfeiting so much money. But in Melvin Gordon's scenario, $5.9 million, even though it's all guaranteed, that's not that much, because if he tears his ACL or something in his fifth year, it might take $5.9 million off that next big free agent contract. So I definitely understand where Melvin Gordon's coming from on this. And I do feel bad for Melvin Gordon, the person, because he is such a good guy and he does care so much about his teammates, which kind of leads me to my next question, because, hey, we had offensive linemen for the Steelers kind of coming out against Le'Veon Bell last season, and we saw other players kind of supporting him. You're with these guys all the time, Fernando. So how do you think that the other players on the Chargers are going to react to this? Because you know there's guys that are going to say, hey, Gordon, go secure the bag. But there's a lot of other guys, veterans, guys in the last years of their deal that are seeing, you know, possibly a Super Bowl window slipping out of their hands because one guy is deciding to hold out.
I mean, to be completely honest, the Chargers have always, as a team, as the 53 men on the roster and the other guys on the practice squad, I've never seen them actually talk about a player. I mean, and they've been, I've seen people try and not bait them, but ask them questions. Like, I remember when Weddle was talking about it, people tried to ask Phillip and Gates and all these other guys, and they stayed very they stayed very quiet about it, and I think the same thing would happen. I think, obviously, his partner in crime, Melvin Ingram, would be like, no, go secure that bag. You got it. You got to do this. But I just don't see anybody talking out against him. I just think the Chargers have a very professional team. They're more of the, that's just another obstacle in our way. They would kind of use it as a chip on their shoulder and be like, you know what? This is another thing that's just standing on our way of making it to the Super Bowl. And I think they would use that as motivation. Not saying in a negative way, I'm saying in a positive way. But I just don't see them talking out against their teammate, because the one thing I've noticed about the Chargers is that ever since Anthony Lynn got there, it's always been it's like a brotherhood. Like, everybody likes everybody. There's nobody sitting by themselves, not talking to everybody. Everybody's talking. Everyone's having fun. I think Anthony Lynn has literally changed this locker room completely around. I think these guys love being each other. I mean, guys, we saw Phillip Rivers last year signal for a first down against Baltimore, and other times he was running up taking pictures with these guys. When have you guys ever seen Phillip Rivers do that kind of stuff? So I think these guys have completely bought into Anthony Lynn's message, and I just don't think that they would be the kind of players that would be like, oh, Melvin over here being selfish, this and that and that. No, I think they'd be like, you know what, he has to go do his. Let's go out here and let's do ours. We have to come out here and we have to play the best ball we can so that we can win the Super Bowl. And another thing, the thing is, those players didn't start talking about Le'Veon until the bye week. I don't know if you guys remember, but during the bye week, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm coming. I guess he gave the impression that he was coming back and he didn't show up. And that's when the players just completely lost it. So as long as players don't lie to other players, they're fine with it. But once you lie and break that trust, then that's when the players kind of get a little mad. But I don't see Gordon doing anything like that. I think he's going to be straightforward with his teammates if he doesn't show up to training camp, if he doesn't show up to preseason games. So I honestly think that they would be very professional about it.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And on a lighter note, that Phillip Rivers first down signal was probably one awesome. Of the best visuals of the entire year. But if everything, if things go, just really south with this situation and the Chargers do have to end up moving Melvin Gordon, how confident do you think they are in the guys that are currently behind him to kind of keep that Super Bowl window open?
To be completely honest, I think the person that they have the most confidence in is Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn is a former running back coach. He was with Terrell Davis. I think they have a lot of confidence in Anthony and against Tennessee in England, they had a pretty bad running back day, but that was after all that flight, the guys had a little bit of jet lag, but I mean, the way they played against Kansas City at times, the running back, the way they played against, and in that Kansas City game, if I'm not mistaken, Austin Ekeler wasn't even in that game. So to see the way they were able to take over that game with running back as a committee, I think they could do a good job. The only thing is, with this kind of offensive line, they're going to need guys that can create holes for themselves. And Gordon is one of those backs that can create a hole by himself. I mean, we saw it last year at times. He had small windows and he would just bust right through them and he would create his own hole. And he would get when you'd say, oh, he's about to lose 2 yards, he'd create and he'd start hitting guys and he would get an extra 5 to 10 yards. And that's another thing about Gordon's game that kind of leaves you, could he sustain it? He's very physical. He's a very physical back. He hits, he's not scared to get hit. So that's another part of his game that kind of leaves people a little bit nervous about it. But I think the Chargers would have confidence in Anthony Lynn. They have confidence obviously in Phillip Rivers. And the one thing that Anthony's been talking about this whole offseason is he has been thinking about resting guys during preseason games, guys that we know that make the team, Phillip Rivers, guys like Keenan Allen, some of those guys, kind of give them the rest and not have them play as much so that they can let younger guys see what they have. But the thing is that going into this, I mean, say that, like you said, worst case scenario, he does leave. Well, now you lost Tyrell Williams and you're going to lose Melvin Gordon. That's two big hits for your offense, which, I mean, the Chargers do have good weapons on there. They have a guy that everybody should take a look at is Artavius Scott. He's been very good during, I mean, and I know it's only minicamp and all that, but he's been very good. There's some other weapons that they have, but to lose a Tyrell Williams, And then to lose a Melvin Gordon, I mean, that'd be a pretty big hit for this offense.
Yeah, it would be a huge hit. I mean, you do get Hunter Henry back, and that is nice. But to lose both of those guys with the offensive line being in the state that it is right now, because I think you hit it right there, Fernando, just because I think the Chargers offensive line skated a lot last year because of what Melvin Gordon was able to do, because of him being able to break tackles and turn nothing into something. And you just lose that without Melvin Gordon. Obviously, that violent running style leads you to fear for his health. I mean, that combined with the 9 games he's missed. But it's just not the games that he missed. It's how he's producing in those other games when he's barely making it into the game. So I think those are all things to consider.
Last year in Oakland, they kind of struggled at some point, and Melvin had that 65-yard touchdown reception. That changed the game. Like, at some point, the Chargers were struggling a little bit last year, and people forget this. They were struggling a little bit, and the guy that would kind of pick them up a little bit would be Melvin. I mean, obviously, the defense would make a big play, like, against the Cardinals. Derwin picks the ball off, and, they were down 10-0. Derwin picks the ball off, and, okay, let's get it started. Against San Francisco, same thing. They started off slow. So there have been times where they start off slow, and the guy that they depend on, obviously, they always depend on Phillip Rivers, but they started depending on Melvin Gordon, too. So that's another guy that you depend on when it comes to your offense. So losing that could be a little problematic, especially because he is, like I said, such a good locker room guy. I mean, honestly, I and I know I keep on saying it and I keep on saying it, but they just have such a good locker room that it's kind of like, do you really want to break that off and have one guy mad because of this or something? Like I said, Gordon probably wouldn't be that kind of guy, but it one thing that general managers and owners and stuff try not to do, they never want to mess with the locker room chemistry, just because if that comes undone, so does your team. I mean, look at with Pittsburgh. Once that whole Le'Veon thing started, their locker room kind of wasn't the same the rest of the season and all that. So, and I mean, look at the team that the Chargers have. I mean, Derwin James is just a monster. Then you add Nazir Adderley. Then you have Joey Bosa, who's going to be healthy next year. And that's another thing. Joey's going to be owed a contract after this season, too.
Right.
So can Joey stay healthy all 16 games, maybe in the playoffs, and make some more noise the way he has? And Joey's going to be owed money. You still have to pay Phillip, who's on the last year of his deal.
Yep.
There's a lot of factors going on. But at the same time, if I'm the Chargers, I try and keep this together because, I mean, Phillip, what, you probably only have him for another two or three seasons. So you have a small window. But going back to that window, if they were able to get another quarterback, I think the window could stay open just because of how good this defense is going to be this year. I think this defense is going to be top three. And if the Chargers offense can just replicate what they did last year, I mean, they could honestly be that team that puts it all together and ends up playing on Super Bowl Sunday. But it's just a matter of keeping the whole locker room together and keeping the players happy and making sure that everybody, like Jackie Moon said in Semi-Pro, everybody love everybody. As long as everybody loves everybody, they'll be a good team and they'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I think you made great points there, especially about the other players that are going to have to be paid, because people see this huge cap space dollars amount that the Chargers will have next year, not thinking about, hey, that's when you're going to have to extend Joey Bosa. That's when you're going to have to figure out a Phillip Rivers contract as well. And there's other guys, you know, like Desmond King, Hunter Henry, those contracts coming up as well. So I think
you could look at the Colts. Sorry to interrupt. You could look at the Colts. The Colts had a lot of money this offseason. They had, I think, over $100 million, and they decided not to go free agency crazy and buy all these guys because they know that they're going to have guys coming up. I mean, yeah, Darius Leonard's only 1 year into the NFL, but if he ends up being what they think he's going to be, you're going to have to pay him down the line. You're going to have to pay other guys down the line. So and the Chargers have always been like that. I mean, Tom Telesco is from the Colts, so they've always been very conservative with their money, and they'd rather build the team through the draft and then bring in the free agents that they need, a Thomas Davis, guys, Russell Okung, guys like that, to kind of mold out their team.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 100%. And I think that's the thing, is too many teams with so much cap space just, you know, try to add every big free agent on the market. And it's hard to add that into a locker room that already has such great chemistry and has the certain playing style and then making that all work. And to go back to what you're saying about the Steelers situation, a lot of people think that a lot of people say that Le'Veon Bell was really the only thing kind of holding that locker room together between Big Ben and Antonio Brown. And look how south that situation went when they didn't have the laid back moderator guy like Le'Veon Bell in there to kind of keep things under control. So just so many implications. I think if for most Charger fans, if you're thinking about a way the Chargers get to the Super Bowl, a huge part of that includes a huge year out of Melvin Gordon. So this is not good news for Charger fans. This is not good news for the chemistry of the Chargers team and, you know, what their expectations are this year. But we'll have to wait and see. But definitely want to throw a special thanks to Fernando Ramirez for getting on with us. Sorry, we went a little bit long, Fernando. I appreciate you staying on with us. We'll take you as long as we can have you. But everyone out there, a great follow, especially for all Charger fans. Make sure to go on Twitter and follow Fernando Ramirez at RealFRamirez. He's a really good Twitter follow, and he's always interviewing the guys at practice and stuff and asking a lot of good questions. So, hey, thanks again, man, for getting on with us super short notice. We weren't even going to do a show today, but, hey, when something like this happens, you got to get on and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, anytime you guys need me, I'm always available. And Charger fans, just relax. Just chill out. You guys just need to relax. Let this play out. But definitely this is going to be something to take note of going into training camp.
All right. Well, a special thanks to Fernando Ramirez coming on with us super short notice. I thought we got some really great insight from him, David. I mean, I think we got everything that we could have asked for, and we absolutely plan on having him back on the show soon. But hey, that does wrap things up for today's show. You guys are welcome for the bonus episode this week and for the great insight on Melvin Gordon. But until next week, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to go follow Fernando Ramirez on Twitter at RealFRamirez as well for helping us out. Make sure to also like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers as well, and to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from. Tune in, Himalaya Podcasting app, Google Podcasts, or wherever, so you can get the show before everyone else. But we will be back with you guys next week. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you later. Take it easy and go Bolts.